Great to be out to New Jersey. I'm sorry I don't say it right, but we had some interesting things happen last night. As when you're on the road a lot, you can expect this. Our vehicle, we got through Philadelphia, and then our truck battery basically died, and we found out that it was the alternator, and we were able to get that fixed, thank the Lord, last night, and made it in decent time, not too late, and we're ready to go this morning. But my name's Paul Raines. And my wife, she's in the back right now, but you can meet her later. Her name is Lisa, and we have two boys, Kian and Evan, and they're 2.5 years old and then 6 months old. And so you'll see a lot of them this week. But I was born and raised in a Christian home and in Wisconsin, and the Lord was, I was so blessed to have Christian parents that love the Lord, and they really made it a priority that we were in church. We heard the Word of God a lot, and as a young boy, 10 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior and was born again. And after that, shortly after that, the Lord began to work in my heart about going into ministry, and that was my parents' desire. My parents raised 8 of us kids, and that was their desire for all 8 of us, is that we would all go into ministry. And the Lord did that. All of us are in full-time ministry or headed that way. There's one younger brother who is essentially in full-time ministry, but the Lord's guiding him still. And but we're excited about how the Lord has really spread us around the world, and that was my parents' vision for us. And so as a 15-year-old boy, during revival meetings, it was Monday night of revival meetings, and so I say never miss a night of revival meetings, because you never know when God's going to work in someone's heart, in your heart, and you don't want to miss that. But it was Monday night, January 3rd, 2005, and the Lord called me to preach that night. Remember so clearly sitting there on the front row, and God just got a hold of my heart, and it wasn't a real surrender, because I wanted to go into ministry, and I wanted to be a preacher, but I knew the Lord was calling me, and I said, yes, Lord, that night. And that's why I'm here today, because He's called me. And so since then, I've gone to Bible college and really aimed my life in that direction of going into full-time ministry. And I'm so thankful for it and excited about it. And we're really just getting started into our ministry here. We've been to a few other places before here, but this is really kind of right at the start of what we're doing and how I believe the Lord is leading us. And so we're excited to do this and to travel along with Brother Gilmore. I know he's a familiar face here, but it's great to get some experience as well with him. And so I'm thankful for how the Lord is leading. This week we're going to be here all week just ministering. We want to help in whatever way we can. We'd love to get to know you more. And so feel free to stop and have a chat, as they say in my wife's home country in Ireland. She's from Ireland. Let's have a chat. And so we'd love to say hi and talk some more. But thankful this morning for the opportunity to speak here in Sunday school. It really is a privilege any time to open the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles, hope you do, Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at an important topic this morning. The title of my message is, Who's in Control? Who is in control? And we have a whole culture nowadays that thinks they're in control in everything in their life. And so this is an important issue about who is in control. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, if you were to study Ephesians chapter 5, the first half of this chapter is filled with commands. I think there's about 14 in the first 18 verses, I think there's 14 commands. And maybe you can go through there and find them sometime. But There are a lot of commands in this verse, but I think it all climaxes right at verse 18, because all these other commands, you can kind of grit your teeth and try to do them, but in reality, we can't really do them without the Spirit's help. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And there's really two halves to this verse, and so there's two points to my message. The first half about where you'll see, and then the second half being filled with the Spirit. So let's read this verse, and why don't we all read it together, okay? Make sure you're awake this morning. Ephesians 5, 18. Let's say it together. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Very good. So there's very clearly two halves to this verse. The first part, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and then this last half, but be filled with the Spirit. You might look at that verse and say to yourself, how do these two parts of the verse have anything to do with each other? You know, you're talking about alcohol in one part, and then the Holy Spirit in the other one. And you ask yourself, how do these have anything to do with each other? The reality is they have a lot to do with each other. That's why they're in the same verse. And this verse is really getting to the heart of who is in control in your life. You see, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved inside, and He wants to have control over every believer. He wants to be in charge. He wants to be the one controlling, empowering each believer. But there are other things in this life that we can yield control to. And when we yield control to those other things, the Holy Spirit is no longer in charge. And we're going to talk some more about that. But it really comes down to who is in control. Is the Holy Spirit in control of our lives? And friends, I believe this issue needs to be front and center in every Christian's life. Is the Holy Spirit in control in my life? Every single day, every moment, every decision I make, is the Holy Spirit in control? And boy, that would change churches, it would change homes, if the Holy Spirit was truly in charge in our lives. A few years ago, I heard a story of a man. I'm from the Milwaukee area. And if you know anything about Milwaukee area, it's usually known for two things, Harley Davidson and Miller Beer. And not some great things, okay? Not some great things there. But anyways, a man was saved in our area a couple years ago, and I heard his testimony. And he got gloriously saved, and the Lord was working in his heart. And of course, being a Wisconsin man, he was a big Green Bay Packers fan. And it was the fall season, and he comes home from church just a few weeks after being saved. And he sits down at his living room, probably his main chair there, and as most Milwaukeeans, most Wisconsinites are do, the Packers game was on, so he turned on the TV, and he went to the fridge, and he grabbed a cold beer. Down in his lazy boy, kicked back, popped that open. And just as he was about to bring that to his mouth, for the first time ever, the Holy Spirit said to him, "It's either me or that." And he had never had that thought before. But now, being a new Christian, the Holy Spirit living inside of him, the Spirit of God was reminding him, was saying, "Who's going to be in control? Are you going to give up my control for that?" And he got up, listened to the Holy Spirit, got up, he went and dumped that down the drain, and he hasn't touched alcohol since, as far as I know. But that's really what it comes down to. Are we going to let the Holy Spirit stay in control, in charge, in our life? And that's a great example of how the Holy Spirit, when he's in control, we have to keep him in control. There are things we can yield to that will lose the control of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to talk some more about that. But let's break down this verse, okay? There's going to be two halves to this message. That we're going to look at the first half of this verse and then the second half, okay? I want to make that very clear. So first of all, the controlling power of alcohol. The controlling power of alcohol. Alcohol is a controlling substance that is This establishes a principle and applies to anything else that controls a person or takes control from the Spirit. All right, I don't think I have to stand up here tonight, this morning, and convince you that alcohol is a powerful substance. We can look around our society and our cultures around us, and we can see that alcohol is destroying homes and destroying lives. Would you agree with me this morning? It definitely is. I know where I come from, homes just are being destroyed. Even in my church back home, you know, I can tell you stories of people's lives, how alcohol just ruined their lives. And it's because it has a very powerful, it's a powerful controlling substance that people yield to and give themselves to it. So we see that alcohol, this verse here is establishing a principle. It's saying anything that can take control of a person that's not the Holy Spirit is wrong. Anything that we yield ourselves to, whether it's a substance or something that controls our mind, and it's not the Holy Spirit, that substance or whatever it is wrong. Because the Holy Spirit, when He saves you, He intends to fill you. He doesn't save anyone He doesn't intend to fill and to use. And so anything that causes Him to lose control is wrong. And alcohol is one of perhaps the most clear example of a substance that controls people. So we see here the command, don't be drunk with wine. Don't allow yourself to come under the control of alcohol. That's what alcohol does. It controls a person. They put it in their body and now something else is in control. The issue here, as I said, is control. Don't yield control. Romans chapter 6 talks about yielding ourselves. And we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit, to God, or we can yield ourselves to the flesh or to other things that will take control. And so don't yield ourselves. That's what it's getting at. Not the main point isn't so much not to drink alcohol, though it is, but the broader issue is don't yield to anything else that's going to take control of your life or control of your person and gives control to something else. Now, some use this little verse. They'll say, see, it's okay to drink alcohol, just don't be drunk. Okay? Now, we're going to look at, in a little bit, we're going to look exactly why that argument doesn't work. See it right here in the verse, but we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, so we see here the command, but I want you to also notice the filling or controlling agent. And here it is alcohol, wine, alcohol, that which is fermented. And I trust I don't have to convince you this morning that this substance is an evil, great evil. I believe it's brewed in hell. And the brewmaster is the devil himself. He's looking for ways to blind people's eyes and to control them so that they don't hear the gospel, so they can't let the Spirit of God have control in their life. And so, it's a tremendous evil. The Bible talks about giving place to the devil. And he says, don't give place to the devil. Well, I'll tell you one simple way that you can give place to the devil is by coming under the control of alcohol. Right. When you put yourself under that control, you're giving place to the enemy. You're allowing him to get a foothold in your life. And by doing that, you're not letting the Holy Spirit have control in your life. That is, you're setting yourself up for great failure if you do that. So here the command, don't be drunk with wine. The filling or control agent is alcohol. But then the fruit of wine. Look at the fruit of wine. It says here in verse 18, I want you to notice this, okay? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, or in which is excess. So, he's saying in the alcohol itself is this excess. Now that word excess, you could also use the word debauchery. And within the alcohol itself is great evil and debauchery. I saw an article a few months ago by a preacher that was entitled Spirits versus Spirit. That's what this verse is. Are you going to yield yourself to spirits or to the Holy Spirit? You know, isn't it something that the stores that sell alcohol are called wine and spirits? Because in the alcohol itself is evil. The devil is, he uses that substance, and the alcohol itself contains all sorts of evil, debauchery. And when you get put that substance in your body, you're violating this command. It's not just when you come to a point where you're drunk, but it's when you put that substance in your body, because that very substance, the Bible says, is debauchery, excess, and evil, all sorts of evil. In Proverbs chapter 23, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, there's an incredible passage here on the effects, the fruit of alcohol. And it makes perfect sense when you read this. You look and say, yup, this is exactly what it does to homes. This is exactly how it destroys people's lives. But look at Proverbs 23, verse 29. I trust that you're able to look at a passage of script, a Bible in front of you there. But Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Follow along as I read here, okay? Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? It's they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Friends, that is the exact description of someone who's given to alcohol. There, all sorts of things happen to them. They don't even realize it. They put themselves in a... They open up to all sorts of other evils. And that's a description of what it means, looks like when we yield ourselves to the control of alcohol. And I have no doubt this morning that there's people here who have been in homes that have been ruined by alcohol. You see the effects of alcohol, what happens when someone is controlled by that wicked substance. And so here the Apostle Paul is reiterating the fact that we ought not to yield ourselves to the control of any the Spirit of God. Alcohol opens the doors to woe, sorrow, contentions, all sorts of evil speech, personal injury, sensuality. That's why these things all go along with alcohol. And no Christian ought to have anything to do with this substance. If it's in your home, you ought to destroy it. You got to get rid of it, because it is certainly gonna. It seeks to destroy homes, and it's because it's the master, the devil, is the one who really is behind this substance, and he knows to destroy homes and destroy people's lives. So here's some reasons why Christians should never drink alcohol, and why this verse teaches total abstinence. First of all, the whole point of the verse is that the Holy Spirit is to have control over the believer, and anything else that takes away control from the Holy Spirit is wrong. The smallest bit of alcohol begins to control a person, which means now the Holy Spirit doesn't have 100% control. You see, it's not just about being drunk. You say, people who say, well, just don't get drunk, what does that mean? How many beers to have before you're drunk? And that line changes for everyone. And so that's not what this verse is mainly getting at. It's getting at the fact that any controlling substance that we put in our body, it immediately takes control away from the Holy Spirit. And if he can't have 100% control, then he is not in control at all. So secondly, the wine itself is evil. We see that we shouldn't drink it because within the wine itself is great debauchery and excess. Also, I just mentioned this, but at what point is a person drunk? Okay, so it's not just getting at when a person is drunk. Sadly, the Christian people who are pushing for social drinking, did you realize that there's actually groups of amongst Christianity that are pushing for the fact that you should be able to drink some alcohol? When you get to the real heart of what Paul's getting at here, is that it's all about the spirit being in control and not yielding control to anything else. You begin to realize, you know what? There's no place in any person for alcohol. So we see here the controlling power of alcohol. That's the first half of this verse. But now, the second half, and this is really the main part. The first half is really just helps us open up to understand the second half, okay? But now let's look at the second half of this verse. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Friends, when the Spirit of God is in control, it affects every area of our life. This is the main thing. Every single day we ought to wake up and say, I need to make sure I'm filled with the Spirit today. I need to make sure that He is in control. This world around me needs me to be filled with the Spirit. My family needs me to be filled with the Spirit. My spouse needs me to be filled with the Spirit. When the Spirit isn't in control, something else is in control. The flesh, some other substance, and when something else is in control and it's not the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to evil, and it's leading to bondage. And so we have here the controlling power of the Holy Spirit. First of all, notice the command to be filled with the Spirit. That word filled means filled. It means 100%. It doesn't mean 50%. The Spirit of God isn't happy just when you give Him, say, oh, you can have 50%, but I'm in charge of the other 50. It doesn't work that way. The Spirit of God wants to fill each believer. He wants to, I mean, the idea is to fill to the brim. Have you ever filled a cup of water so full that the water actually is just a little over the brim of the top? That's the idea. There's no room for anything else in that cup except that substance, except the Holy Spirit. The command here, I don't want to get technical, but it is present tense. And so the idea is you could read it like this. Keep being filled with the Spirit of God. Every moment, make sure you're filled with the Spirit of God. And we can quickly get in a place, you know, the Bible said when we sin, when we yield to sin, we're immediately getting out under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when we sin, we need to recognize that and say, you know what, I've got to get back under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when you begin to walk with the Spirit of God and learn to have that close, intimate relationship with Him, you begin to realize, you know what, the Holy Spirit, He's not in control right now. And I need to get back under His control and yield myself to Him. So, the idea here is it's passive, meaning keep allowing yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one who fills you. Okay? We don't somehow magically fill ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit who fills us. And that requires that we yield ourselves to Him. So we need to keep allowing ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it requires yielding. You know, it would be good for Christians each morning to wake up and say, God, I'm yielding myself to You today. You're in charge. Don't you think that would change things if we did that each morning? And say, God, You're in charge this morning. What You want, that's what I want. What You want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. But you know what often happens is we wake up and the flesh is in control. You know, whatever arguments we were in last night before we went to bed are suddenly now in control again. And we get up angry, we get up
you know, wanting to get back at someone, we come up with all sorts of other things in control, with our flesh in control. But friends, the Holy Spirit wants to be in control in our lives. He wants to be the one calling the shots in our lives. Now, I want to just take a moment and clarify a few things, okay? I've learned you can't take anything for granted. You know, we live in a more and more in a culture that doesn't really understand the Bible. They have less and less teaching of the Bible. And so I want to make sure a few things are clear here, because there's a lot of confusion out there, a lot of wrong doctrine. When the Holy Spirit moves inside, when the moment a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of them. There's several passages, even here in Ephesians. Ephesians deals a lot with the Holy Spirit. But when you get saved, the term that the Bible uses, it says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, how many of you, any gardeners out here, anyone that likes a garden? Isn't New Jersey called the Garden State? All right, so there should be a lot of gardeners, all right? I know back home, my sister loves gardening, and she's made for that. You know, she just loves it. She loves giving things to other people that she's grown in her garden. But one thing she loves doing is canning things. And so in the middle of the winter, in the middle of January in Wisconsin, when there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, she can go downstairs and she can grab a can of fresh garden produce and use it for cooking. But you know, when there's a whole process they go through when they're canning that fruit or that vegetable. All right, how many of you are familiar with that canning process? Any done it before? Okay, well, that whole process, they're sealing. They put the ingredients, the vegetables inside that jar, and they seal it, and then they put it on the shelf. That substance, the ingredients, whatever is inside of that can, is good until the day you open it. You see, it preserves it. And so when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us, and we're sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the day that Jesus comes back, or the day we die as a Christian and we go to heaven. All right, we're sealed. We're preserved in Christ. And that is a wonderful reality that a believer has. He's sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to lose my salvation. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and you're sealed. You can't be lost. You're preserved. And that's a wonderful reality. So when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, we're not talking about you lose lose salvation and you get it back. All right? When you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. That's another term the Bible uses. He indwells you. He's there to stay. All right? But we're talking this morning, when we're talking about filling, we're talking about His control. You see, you don't lose the Holy Spirit. You still have Him. But when He's not in control, something else is in control. You haven't lost the Holy Spirit. You see what I mean? All right, so the Holy Spirit seals us. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. We're never going to lose our salvation. But the Spirit can lose His control in your life. And that's what He wants. He wants the control. He wants to be the one empowering us and enabling us. And so, that's important to the distinction that we need to understand. It's the Holy Spirit. He seals us unto the day of redemption. When you get saved, He moves inside. He's there to stay. But His control is what can be lost. All right? You don't lose the Holy Spirit Himself. He loses His control. Okay, when we yield to sin or to some other substance. Friends, as New Testament believers living in this era, we have a wonderful reality. Do you realize in the Old Testament, the believers in the Old Testament didn't get the wonderful privileges that we have, that the Holy Spirit moves inside and lives inside of them? The Bible says in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with them, but in the New Testament, He is in them. Now, if you're here today and you know you're saved, just raise your hand. I'm looking at a bunch of people. If you raise your hand, you know you're saved, that the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. Let that sink in for a minute. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, moved inside of you the day you got saved. And He's there for one reason, to seal you, but then also to control and to be in charge in your life. And friends, I don't know about you, but I want Him in control. He's a good God, and He wants us to yield control to Him, and He wants to lead us in our life and empower us. And friends, He can enable you to have victory in this life. He can enable you to live a life that pleases God. You know, you might be sitting there this morning and saying, that preacher has no idea of the things that I'm going through, the struggles, the temptations, all the things that I face. You realize something? That a preacher is just made of flesh and clay, just like you? We face the same temptations. Friends, the Holy Spirit wants you to help give you the victory over that sin habit that you have. The Holy Spirit of God wants to help you get victory over alcohol. He wants you to get victory over whatever it is in your life that is in control that's not Him. And He can, but you have to put your trust and dependence upon Him and trust Him, depend upon Him for daily victory. And He is going to give you that victory. And there's a lot that could be said, but the command here is to be filled with the Spirit. But also, I want you to notice the filling agent. The filling agent is the Holy Spirit Himself, the third person of the Trinity. Deity lives inside of us. You know, that's something different than any other religion out there. When you get saved as a Christian, the Holy Spirit moves inside of you. And I mean, it doesn't matter how young you are. You could be 10 years old and be a Christian, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And you need to learn to listen to His leading and to His voice when He says to do something. You know, the Spirit of God is a personal God. He cares about us. He knows what we're going through. But He wants to lead us. He wants to lead in the areas. You might feel like in life you're just boxed in right now. You know what you need to do is say, Lord, I need Your leading in my life. Every moment and every day, I want You to be in charge. And let the Spirit of God be in charge in your life. And man, He can start leading you through the trials that you're facing, the temptations, and the things in life that don't make sense. The Holy Spirit of God can help you. So the filling agent is the Holy Spirit. I want to emphasize that word, the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of fake Holy Spirit out there today. You know, have you heard the terms fake news, all this, you know, fake this, fake that? There's a lot of fake Holy Spirit out there. There's a lot of people out there who say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to do this, and whatever He led them to do was, you know, some unholy thing. You know, there's a lot of music out there that people say, well, the Holy Spirit is involved in that. He's not involved in that. The Holy Spirit is holy. And friends, when we start letting Him have control in our lives, He leads us to holiness. Amen. He leads us to love that which is pure. You know, that's why that man that began at the story, told his story at the beginning, when he was sitting down there to start drinking that alcohol, the Holy Spirit wasn't going to have anything to do with that. He would say, if you yield control to that, I'm no longer in control. It doesn't work that way. You see, but the Holy Spirit was leading him to take a step in his life of righteousness. And friends, what step has the Holy Spirit led you recently? A step in your life that He's led you to say, you know what? I need to get rid of this in my life. Did you know that's how the Holy Spirit works? When you listen to Him and He's in control, He'll lead you into your life and say, you know what, I need to change this in my life. I need to change this attitude. You know, I shouldn't wear this anymore because the Holy Spirit's in control. I want to please Him. And it begins to affect every area of our life. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I think a lot of homes these days need the Holy Spirit. I mean, you think about that. Look at this list. The Holy Spirit, when He's in control, there's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, forbearance. Do those things mark most homes in our culture, even Christian homes? So many homes have no joy. They're filled with anger. And they're filled with bitterness. That's what a lot of homes are filled with. They need more of the Holy Spirit. They need more people who are yielded to the Holy Spirit. You know, does that describe your life? Is your life a life of joy? A life of peace? A life of loving towards other people? Or is your life really filled with anger, bitterness, lack of joy, lack of peace? Well, I'll tell you then, one thing is for sure, the Holy Spirit hasn't been in control much. And that can change. It can change when we start saying, recognize, you know what? He needs to be in control. Every moment, every day, the Spirit of God needs to be in control. And when He is in control, this is what it's going to look like. You're going to see the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to see evidence that the Spirit of God has been in control. What a wonderful reality. You know what, friends, this morning there are tangible ways that you can know whether you're filled with the Spirit of God or not. I remember my brother Stephen. How many of you know what an ordination is? Ordination council. Okay? What it is when a young man like myself is going into ministry, they'll often do an ordination. And they'll have a group of pastors come together and they'll ask the young man a bunch of questions, you know, and kind of look over his doctrinal statement and make sure he's on the right path and ask him some tough questions. Well, my brother Stephen a few years ago was going through that. And one of the preachers raised his hand and said, "Stephen, are you filled with the Spirit right now?" And my brother said, "Yes." And because you can actually know if you're filled with the Spirit or not. Especially when you learn to walk with the Spirit of God, you know when He's in control and when He's not. And but there's very clear things. You can know whether all sin is confessed. You know, the Spirit of God isn't going to be in control if there's unconfessed sin. The Spirit of you can tell He's in control when you see the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering that are flowing through a person. And so you can know, and I ask you this morning, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Or is there something you need to deal with? I encourage you to deal with that before we get to that morning service. It's going to be really hard for the Spirit of God to work in your hearts in a message through preaching if you're not sitting there filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit every time you come to church. So, the Bible says, let me read you this encouraging verse. It says, "Walk in the Spirit," Galatians 5:16, "walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I'm talking to people who there's struggles in your life and there's things that you wish you could just have the victory over. But friends, you know it begins with recognizing, you know what, I can't have victory over that. The Spirit of God is able to help me to have victory over whatever it is. And I was just saying in passing that sometimes those things in our lives that are controlling, maybe it's something not other than alcohol, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's some kind of anger problem that you have. You know, oftentimes those things are connected to deeper issues. Maybe there were unresolved hurts as a child for growing up that you never dealt with, and so it created wrong thinking in your mind. And that is leading to these things as really an escape. Okay? Sometimes these things are just escapes. These sins that the devil puts in us, they're escapes in our lives. But they're keeping us from dealing with real issues in our lives. But friends, understand that the Holy Spirit of God can give you the victory. He can help you in your life. Whatever is filling you is what will come out. If I had up here a cup filled with water all the way to the brim, and then a cup over here filled with Pepsi all the way to the brim. If I were to come along and you had these two cups and I were to hit the pulpit really hard, what would come out? Whatever's in it, right? And so, friends, when the picture here is when you're, whatever is filling you, and then something comes along in our life and kind of shakes us up, so to speak. Maybe it's someone says something to that gets us all riled up. Whatever is in control is what's going to come out. If the flesh is in control and someone says something to get us angry, guess what's going to come out? It's going to be the flesh. But when the Spirit of God is in control and that same thing happens, you know what's going to come out? If we stay yielded, the fruits of the Spirit. Love. You know, there may be people out here who you think, man, I could never respond to my spouse in love or to my children in a peaceful, sweet way. But you actually can when the Spirit of God is in control. And so, how important it is that we are filled with the Spirit. So we see the command to be filled with the Spirit, the filling agent, the Holy Spirit, and just lastly here, the necessity of being filled with the Spirit. The necessity. First of all, it is absolutely necessary for revival because the Holy Spirit of God is the reviver of His people. And this week we're having revival meetings, evangelistic meetings. If God's going to work and revive this church, it's going to require people starting to get a sensitivity to whether the Spirit of God is in control or whether the flesh is in control. And we need to begin to have an awareness of God. Is God in control of my life? Who's the one leading my steps and leading what I'm doing? Is it God? We also need the Holy Spirit to be filling us because it's essential for holy living. You know, you can follow a whole set of rules and standards, but if it's not energized by the Spirit of God, if it's not coming out of someone who's genuinely filled with the Spirit of God, friends, it's not true holiness. Right. It's got to come from someone who's filled with the Spirit of God. And then they naturally want to live that way. The Holy Spirit is necessary for ministry. John chapter 7, we see that rivers of living water. It's essential that whatever ministry you're involved in, whether it's Sunday school, the bus, whatever ministry it is, you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives life to people. And then the Holy Spirit is necessary for the winning of souls. If we have a burden for souls and you want to bring people to Christ, it's absolutely essential that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. A great preacher, Charles Spurgeon, said he would every morning he would ask the Holy Spirit to guide him which songs to pick and which messages to preach. And he also said, let the preacher always confess before he preaches that he relies upon the Holy Spirit. Let him burn his manuscript and depend upon the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit does not come to help him, let him be still and let the people go home and pray that the Spirit will help him next Sunday. He recognized the absolute essentialness of having the Holy Spirit in charge in his life. And it was evident. You look at his life, you look what it produced, and it's very real, evident that the Holy Spirit was in charge of that man's life. And friends, God wants to do the same with you. I'm looking at a bunch of people that you might not think much of yourself. You might think, God's not going to do much with my life. You know what? When you start yielding yourself to God and to letting Him get control in your life, you're going to start seeing God do things in your life that you never thought were possible. You'll begin to have attitudes that you never thought were possible. You'll be able to have victory in your life over things you never thought were possible. But it begins by recognizing the absolute need in our lives to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when He's in control, it starts to affect every part of our life. So I ask you this morning, who's in control? Is it the Holy Spirit or is it something else? And I trust that today, if it's not the Holy Spirit, that you will let Him have control in your life. And that will become a daily habit. Waking up in the morning and say, God, I want you to be in control today. And yielding yourself to Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can have a relationship with Him. Lord, that you didn't call us to live holy lives, but you gave us everything we needed to live holy lives. And Lord, you didn't call us to ministry, but you gave us all the tools we needed to accomplish ministry. And so bless each person here this morning. Please use them in a special way. Lord, help them to recognize they can have victory. They can have that true love, joy, peace, long-suffering as they yield to the control of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.